You've got to plug into EPRN. We've got the conversation, we've got the sports team, and our music and entertainment team brings podcasting to extremely new heights.
Listen in to EPRN.us. Press the app button on the site and download the EPRN app now. You'll be listening to shows in no time. Take us on the go with you. Our app is accessible on all mobile devices and tablets. Or you can just go to EPRN.us.
Your listening is worth your time.
Spend your time listening to an independently owned media network.
Tell a friend and listen in.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, EPRN.
Hello out there, everybody tuning in. I'm Foltzy, and you're listening to Foltzy's Corner, your location on the internet for anything wrestling, probably WWE mostly, and gaming. And like the first episode, this is the second episode. Like the first episode, I think we're going to start off with the wrestling update, and then we'll move on to the gaming. Now, as everybody that's listening to this probably already knows, the Greatest Royal Rumble took place. It is the first of its kind. It took place in Saudi Arabia at the King Abdullah Sports City. Well, it was at King Abdullah Sports City's King Abdullah International Stadium in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Now, this event, it was scheduled for 7 at local time, and that ended up happening at 11 a.m. where I live. Noon Eastern time. The pre-show started an hour prior. All of the men's main roster championships were defended, and of course there was the main thing, which it was named after, the 50-man Royal Rumble match. Now, to start with, we'll just go ahead and we'll say, okay, yeah, the preliminary matches, the pay-per-view opened with John Cena facing off against Triple H, which was an 11 or 12 year rematch, kind of. I mean, it wasn't really a rematch, but you know, they went up against each other after 11 or 12 years, and it was pretty good. But we'll move on. We have a lot to cover just over the three shows, and I wasn't able to really pay attention all that much to the Greatest Royal Rumble, which really upset me. I was busy with other things. I was just able to watch it on the network afterwards, obviously, because I was at work for live time. So I was actually spoiled in the sense that a lot of the matches I knew the outcomes of due to the WWE Network app and the ESPN app spoiling me with the notifications over the course of the work day. And I'll tell you what, that broke my heart. I'll be honest. It upset me. At work, I didn't want to know how it came out. Now I'm assuming you already have seen it. But let's just go through the results. Now, John Cena did defeat Triple H. That was actually, except for the Royal Rumble itself, that was the longest match of the night, and that was the first one. Now, the second one, you had Cedric Alexander, who is the champion, beating Kalisto, and that was for the Cruiserweight Championship. 205 Live is actually a thing now, and it's actually pretty good. I mentioned that last time, I'm pretty sure. Then you had Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy, who are now called the Deleter of Worlds. That is their new tag team name. They defeated The Bar, Cesaro, and Sheamus, because, so The Bar went to SmackDown, but they were, you know, they had a rematch for their Raw Tag Team Championship that they'd lost, that was then vacated by Nicholas and Braun Strowman. I was hoping to see Nicholas in the replays, but sadly, no. Didn't get to see him actually on the world's greatest Royal Rumble, or the greatest Royal Rumble. But then, so, the Deleter Worlds, Deleter Worlds, beat The Bar. Then you had Jeff Hardy, the champion, defeating Jinder Mahal, with obviously Sunil Singh ringside. I was happy. I don't like Jinder Mahal, and I've said this before. I think he could be good. I really do. He's a good heel. I'll give him that. But it's just, he's so young in the sense of being there. Jeff Hardy's been around for 26 years, not consecutive, but 26 years of experience. I think he deserved to defend his championship and win. which put him in, I think he's got a fatal, or he's got a three-way match against Randy Orton and Jinder, maybe? Or maybe it's just Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy. I think it's just Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy. Then you had the Bludgeon Brothers, who are the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, defeating the Usos. That was a five-minute match. That was the shortest of the night. And I like the Bludgeon Brothers, two huge dudes, defeating the Usos, who have been, they have, you know, they have it in their blood. But I just like the Bludgeon Brothers, big old mallets, Harper and Rowan, pretty awesome. Seth Rollins, the Iowa boy, I always like him, champion. He beat Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and The Miz in a ladder match, although it was close. Him and Finn Balor, they were pretty close. That was a good match. That was a long match for the night. Third longest. AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura fought to a... They had a double count out. And that was for the WWE Championship. So with a double count out, AJ Styles, who was the champion, he retains his championship. And Shinsuke, you know how Shinsuke's been doing. As AJ put it at SmackDown, he's concerned and obsessed with the wrong jewels. You're smart enough, you know what that means. The Undertaker, he beat Rusev. I am a huge Undertaker fan. I like Rusev. I like Rusev. It's Rusev Day. I mean, you can't not like him when it's Rusev Day. But the Undertaker's the Undertaker. I mean, come on. And that was a casket match. And then the ninth match of the night was Brock Lesnar, the Universal Champion. They said he beat Roman Reigns. The ref even stated that he made a mistake. Roman Reigns' feet actually hit first because he speared Lesnar through the cage. Awesome to see. However, Brock's body hit the ground, but he was on the cage. But Roman Reigns' feet hit first. That is a very controversial thing. I think we will hear more about that in the time to come. Roman Reigns did mention it, and we'll get to that. But that's how that ended up. That wasn't even a 10-minute match. But then we had the longest match, I think. I think it ended up being the longest match of all time. Maybe. Don't quote me on that, but you got to give credit to Daniel Bryan. He came out as the first one with Dolph Ziggler. He went all the way to the final three, and he had that set the record. He beat Rey Mysterio's record, and he set the record at an hour and 16 minutes. He stated in the after-match interview that it wasn't that he was tired, which is why he was eliminated. He was eliminated because he couldn't eliminate Braun Strowman. Nobody could. Braun Strowman went to beat the first 50-man Royal Rumble, and he eliminated a record 13 individuals. He beat Roman Reigns' record of 12. He got a trophy and the greatest Royal Rumble championship, which, you know, that's a guaranteed year-long championship reign. Unless they plan to have the greatest Royal Rumble more than once. Couldn't tell you. But one thing I've neglected to mention, and I feel bad for it. My two favorite commentators of all time, and nobody will ever beat them. Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross. They were on the pre-show panel with Booker T and Byron Saxton. So, you know, there's that. But I like Jerry Lawler, the king. And JR, I always will. I think they work great together. Jerry Lawler was usually the heel announcer, and Jim Ross, you know, the good old boy. So that was how the greatest Royal Rumble went. That's just a quick overview. There's a lot of controversy around it, obviously, because there's no female wrestlers there due to the way things work in Saudi Arabia. I'm not getting into that. That is not my business. That is elsewhere. However, the WWE did air a promo video which had female wrestlers that the Saudi General Sports Authority apologized for the indecent, quote, indecent material that aired. And yeah, so Braun Strowman won by the last person he eliminated was Big Cass, that 7-footer. And I like Braun Strowman, so I was happy. And let's move on to Monday Night Raw. It was good. let me just start with that. It was good. Roman Reigns, he came out first. I actually missed the beginning of this because I was on my way home from work. So I wasn't able to catch it, but I did watch it online. But because I wasn't there, I'm not going to talk about it. I don't think I should if I wasn't there. So let's move on to the next thing that happened. Was I even there for the next thing? Hold up. I got to think. Let me check the recap just to be sure. Oh, come on. Work with me. Okay, so I wasn't there for the Elias and Bobby Roode match. I actually walked in and turned on the TV as Bobby Roode was being carted out or helped out. But Elias was focusing on Roode's neck. It was weird. But then Authors of Pain beat Jean-Paul and Francois via pinfall. This Jean-Paul and Francois, a couple jobbers, I'm pretty sure they're local. They got squashed by the Authors of Pain, who are also Canadian, from my research that I did for like 3 seconds. Then Ruby Riott beat Sasha Banks. I don't like the Riott squad. That's just me. But you're not supposed to. They're kind of heel. Whatever. And then Alexa Bliss had a quote, public service announcement. It was a mock one. She's continued to call Nia Jax a bully. And she even told a story about how Nia kept turning or kept making fun of Bliss at Disney World. You know, short jokes, yada, yada, yada. Too short to even ride the teacups. And, quote, Nia turned the happiest place on Earth into the saddest day ever. Poor you. And then Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, like I said, they're the leaders of worlds. And that is when they did it. The Raw show, they called themselves the Deleters of Worlds. Quote, from Wyatt, we are the darkness and the light, and our shadow will continue to consume everything and eat everything in its path. And I've heard that the YouTube channel for, I think it's Matt Hardy, it goes into a little bit more. It's a little creepy, but they did Photoshop themselves into some historical pictures, and it made me grin, made me chuckle. No Way Jose beat Baron Corbin after that, but that was partially due to, right before that, Titus O'Neil had an interview with Renee Young backstage about his silly fall at the Greatest Royal Rumble, and that was insulted by Corbin. And then, so during the match, Titus Worldwide walked in and distracted Baron Corbin, and... So Taz Worldwide came in, and then O'Neil got up to go into the ring after Taz Worldwide, after his two friends made sure that there was no way he could slip. He went to get in to the ring, and he slipped on the rope, slammed onto the apron, and fell down, and it distracted Corbin, and then No Way Jose rolled him up, and, yeah, Baron Corbin's not happy. I kind of like Baron Corbin. No Way Jose, he's silly, he's fun. So that's also nice. I think this could set up a good little thing going between... I don't think No Way Jose, really. I think it'll be more of Titus Worldwide up against Baron Corbin. And then you had Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. Little promo that they had. It looked like a hotel room, maybe. They said that they... Pretty much, I just said they didn't come to Raw to steal a show, but to take it. So, steal it, I guess. I guess it's just another way of saying it. Natalya beat Nikki James. But the really interesting part was that Bliss was in Mickey James's corner, and Ronda Rousey was out to support her friend Natalya. Bliss kept messing with the match, and Rousey chased her around the ring. And then Bliss ran up the ramp and away, and Natalya rolled up James for the victory. And then Nia Jax came out behind Bliss. And when Nia's music hit, you could just see Bliss get scared and worried. And she ran into the audience and ran away. Like, she did not want anything to do with it. And then Nia Jax came up and just shot daggers at Rousey and Natalya. But then smiled and raised their arms. So that was nice, but that's not the big thing. The big thing, well, there was a couple big things. I mean, you had, it's been a long couple days, guys. So I'm just trying to make sure I get everything covered. But the best match by far of the night, one of the best matches in a while, was the Finn Balor against the champion Seth Rollins. Because Seth Rollins came out earlier in the night saying, hey, I want to be a fighting champion. I don't want to be like Brock Lesnar. I want to be a fighting champion. And so after he came out, Finn Balor came out and said, you know what? You want to be a fighting champion? All right. Let's fight tonight. Well, then you had Mr. Oz during that promo come out and try to be the new Four Horsemen of Raw. Yeah, they got a shot down. So the Mr. Oz tried to attack the babyface Finn Balor and Seth Rollins. That didn't work. So once Balor and Rollins threw him out of the ring, Balor hit Rollins in the back, slammed him on the ground. Pretty much, you need to keep an eye on me. So that set up. That kind of got ready for the match later on. Well, the main event of the night, Seth Rollins against Finn Balor for the Intercontinental Championship. So you had a championship match on, you know, not a house show, a live show, but it wasn't on pay-per-view, which is always nice to see. Now this match, it got an A+ from Bleacher Report even. It went on, I don't know how long it went on, but it didn't feel like it went on a long time, but I know it went on a bit. And it was a mixture of counters. It was an even match. A lot of counters. Rollins kept just flying around. The end of the match, pretty much, he tried to hit his curb stomp. He tried. I don't know if they still call it the curb stomp. It's a curb stomp. He tried, but Balor kept rolling away. Kept getting out of it. Not getting hit. But once he finally did hit it, bam. Seth Rollins wins. Keeps his IC title and will go up against... Oh, who's he going up against? Oh, The Miz. He's going up against The Miz Sunday at Backlash. I'm looking forward to that. So, that was a good match. Balor might go heel. Who knows? We'll see. But let's move on and get through what we're at. Well, we're around 17 minutes. Let's go ahead and we'll talk about SmackDown. Kicking off the month of May, SmackDown. It opened up with Miz TV, and Miz likes that. And he had his guest was Jeff Hardy and then Randy Orton. And Miz tried to get a rise out of Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy to really, you know, hey, he took your title, yada, yada, yada. And Randy Orton said, we're cool. Not a big deal. And then Shelton Benjamin came out saying, I beat both of you at one point. So that means that I have the best. He's the highest qualified guy to do it. Well, too bad. So they end up going on a match later. Actually, right after that. You know, there was a commercial break, and then it was a match. So it was Jeff Hardy teaming up with Randy Orton, even though they'll be going up against each other at Backlash. They teamed up against Shelton Benjamin and The Miz. It was an okay match. Shelton Benjamin and The Miz really beat on Hardy for a while, but the crowd wanted Hardy to go, and then it went down, not downhill. The beginning of the end started after Hardy clotheslined the team, and Hardy got Orton into the match, and man, Randy Orton, the Viper, he just went all out. He went for a draping DDT on Shelton Benjamin, but The Miz screwed up and interrupted him. So there was a double draping DDT, and then an RKO to Shelton Benjamin, and I thought he was going to pin him, but he tagged in Hardy, who hit the Swanton Bomb, and that was the match. But then Hardy, just like what Seth Rollins figured out, don't turn away. Hardy got an RKO from Randy Orton. So we'll see how that match turns out. at Backlash. I really should record these so much closer to when these things happen. And then we had Big Cass come out, 7-footer. And Randy, he wanted to talk to Daniel Bryan, but Daniel Bryan actually wasn't cleared, medically cleared by the SmackDown staff after the Greatest Royal Rumble. He had welts all over his chest. They're worried about a chest infection. I hope that's not the case. But he came out, called Daniel Bryan short, said everybody in the WWE Universe same size as the as Daniel Bryan. And so then Daniel Bryan's music hit, and everybody's like, oh, wait, he's coming. No, how do I put this? A little person, you know what I mean, a short individual came out, and he had a wig on and a big old beard, and he was dressed up as Daniel Bryan. So then Big Cass made standard short jokes, pretty cruddy, and then hit a big boot and all that. Like, he talked up the little guy a bit, saying, hey, he's a hometown dude, it's awesome, he's a hero, and then not beat the crap out of him. He just put a big boot on him and stepped on him. It was just crud. I think Big Cass could really work a little more. Could really work a little bit more on his delivery on the mic. And then you had Shinsuke Nakamura. Man, Nakamura. Come on, me. He wanted an apology from AJ Styles, even though he's been hitting the phenomenal one in the jewels all the time. Whatever. But AJ Styles came out. He said, if you want an apology, come out and get it. And Samoa Joe's music hit. I know Samoa Joe's good. It's just, I feel like he hasn't actually done anything since he's come back. You really need to do stuff, Samoa Joe. Come on. I know you're going at Backlash. I know, but you can't just be doing that. You got to prove that you're awesome. You were hurt. You got to prove that you're back and you're actually able to do stuff. And if I missed him, Samoa Joe match, I apologize. But he stated that once he destroyed Roman Reigns at Backlash, that he's going to go after AJ Styles to take the WWE Championship. So Styles should be worried more about Samoa Joe than Shinsuke. Whatever. But then Shinsuke Nakamura's music hit when Samoa Joe is preparing to exit, so Joe's waiting for him. Come on. Well, Nakamura snuck into the ring and nailed AJ Styles in the groin. It was all good, don't get me wrong, but it's like, man, I just want a match. Do it! And then you had Xavier Woods versus Sheamus, and I was actually cooking supper during this, so I didn't catch all of it. But Xavier Woods beat Sheamus. I like Sheamus, but I like the New Day as a group. But I like Sheamus more than I like the New Day. Big dude, you know, whatever. But it was an okay match from what I saw. Can't comment much on it. But then the main event was Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Asuka against Carmella, Billie Kay, and Peyton Royce. The last two are the Iconics. I strongly dislike Carmella. She is whiny, and their announcer, one of them called, I think it was Graves. Oh, she's passionate. No, she's whiny and annoying. But whatever. And then the Iconics, they're not good wrestlers, really, I don't think. They're good on the mic. They're good heel mics. But, spoiler, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Asuka won. I was so happy. But what it ended up being was Asuka, after coming into the match, like, she got thrown out and beaten at ringside. So she came in late. Like, when she came in to the match late, she'd already been in a little bit. But she came out and hit the Asuka lock against Peyton Royce. Peyton Royce tapped out, so that was nice. And then Carmella was clutching her title as she retreated. The look on her face made you feel a little bit sorry for her. She looked really worried and stuff, but you know what? I mean, you can't feel all that sorry for her. I mean, she cashed in. She was good at it. Whatever. But that's going to do it for the wrestling bit. That was just a review of what happened. I'll probably end up splitting these up because this review took almost 25 minutes, and I feel sorry for it, but we're going to talk about gaming really, really, really quick. But yeah, I'll probably end up splitting these up into two, if that's okay with you guys. Again, please feel free to comment if you would like to give me any ideas. But, quick thing, a mod for Fallout 4 has recently come out, and I like it, actually. It's a mod that... it's kind of like permadeath, almost. Think of, like, Dark Souls, where when you die, you can't... You don't get your souls. You lose them. Unless you get to your body. But if you die before you get to your body, that old body's gone and the new one replaces it. There's a mod that does that, and it's kind of cool. I mean, it doesn't work for the DLC, sadly. But, you know, if you get killed in Fallout 4 with this mod activated, you lose everything. Except for your quest items, obviously. You can't remove those. But you lose everything else, and you have to go to your body. You start at the closest settlement, but if you're not near a settlement, you go to Sanctuary. And so, if you die, you lose everything. Like, you can have, oh, you got fully upgraded stuff, all this cool, these cool weapons, but you died trying to get them back? Well, they're gone. Too bad. So sad. How unfortunate for you. And so I just wanted to mention that, but I think what I want to talk about this time, I know I talked about my favorite Legend of Zelda game last episode. I think what I want to talk about is my favorite Fallout game, since I just mentioned Fallout. Fallout New Vegas. Obsidian made it. It was the one that wasn't made by Bethesda, and I think it's the best one. It's got a great... cast, like an ensemble. It's got a great storyline. It's never feeling like it's overly boring. There's always stuff to do, but it doesn't feel like there's so much that you'll never be able to do anything else. And just the music. That's probably one of my favorite things in the game is the soundtrack. I actually listen to that in my truck when I'm driving to and from work pretty often. Big Iron, probably my favorite one on there. And, like, I remember playing through it, and Kris Kristofferson just, oh, this character's voiced by Kris Kristofferson. I'm going to listen to everything. I'm not going to skip any of his dialogue lines, even after I'm done reading them, because I want to hear Kris Kristofferson talk in a post-apocalyptic world, and just tell me what is going on and why I should listen to him. And then you had... you had the casinos, and you had some great mods, honestly. And then, just the storyline. It wasn't, oh, I'm a vault dweller, I have to do this, I have to find this, I have to find my kid, I have to find a water card, yada. It was, somebody shot me in the frickin' head, I'm irritated. I'll say irritated to keep it family-friendly. Irritated about it, just slightly. You left me in a grave for dead. I'm gonna find you, and I will shoot you. Now, you could let him go, but I don't know of anybody that did because, you know, you shot me in the head. I'll kill you for it. And then you get swept up in the other stuff, obviously. You don't have to, really, I guess. But you don't finish the game if you don't. But, you know, you get swept up in all these other things, but really, it's just, hey, somebody shot me in the head. I'm upset. I'm going to find him. I'm going to kill him. And I'm happy for it. And there's a bunch of different weapons. I've always been on the side of... firearms on it, you know, taking a shotgun or a sniper rifle, using those. There are, you know, laser weapons and all that, and they do some cool effects, but there's just something satisfying about sitting a long ways away with a scope, sighting in on a bad guy, and going pew pew, and they're gone. They're no longer a problem. And then it was also one where it's not confusing that, you know, you're not perturbed about, there's super mutants, there's everything I knew and loved is gone. No, you're a courier, and you're used to this world. It was your job to go through this world. So the fact that you're not perturbed and you know where to go makes sense. I hope Obsidian makes another Fallout game. It doesn't have to be set in New Vegas, but just another Fallout game. I would play one that was set in like Kansas City. It's nearby. I know the area. Not really. I know north of it and east of it. And that's about it for that area. But, you know, I would play a hell out of that. And, by the way, there's a Fallout mod to create Miami. I think it's coming along pretty good. There's a trailer out for it. Check it out. And you know what? I think that's going to do it. Sorry for the short gaming bit. But this has been Foltzy's Corner. I'm Foltzy. I hope you stay in my corner. I could really use the support. I'm not asking for money. It's a joke. But that's all. Thanks for listening.